So our scripture passage comes from 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and I'm reading verses 1 through 9. This is also found in this story. Then King David said to the whole assembly, "My son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. The task is great because this palatial structure is not for man, but for the Lord God. He is preparing to build the temple for the Lord." David says, "With all of my resources, I have provided for the temple of my God gold for the gold work, silver for the silver, bronze for the bronze, iron for the iron, and wood for the wood, as well as onyx for the settings, turquoise, stones of various colors, and all kinds of fine stone and marble, all of these in large quantities. Besides, in my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of my God, over and above everything that I have provided for this holy temple. 3,000 talents of gold, gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver for the overlaying of the walls and the buildings, for the gold work and the silver work and all the work to be done by the craftsmen. Now, who is willing to consecrate himself to the Lord?" Then the leaders of families and the officers of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds, and the officials in charge of the king's work gave willingly. They gave toward the work of the temple of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. Any who had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the temple of the Lord in the custody of Jehiel the Gershonite. The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. As New Year comes along, we usually have thought about some changes that we'd like to make in our lives. Don't we usually do that? We might call them New Year's resolutions. A lot of people do that. I try not to because I just find myself disappointed by them a week or so later. But usually we think, you know, it's a good time to make some good changes in our lives. So we want to become more healthy. Maybe we want to be better parents or more obedient to our parents or more obedient to the things of God. Maybe we decide that we want to read our Bibles more or spend more time in prayer, be more generous. Maybe we want to save more money or be more generous with our money. Generally, what we decide on these at this time of year is, how is it that we can become better people? How can I be a better person, right? And some of the decisions and the things that we think about right now relate to that. Now, we have been studying this week the story of David the king. And we see him not behaving too well at times. But in our text today, we see David coming to the end of his life, and he's beginning to recognize what's truly important in life. And some of this is expressed. David had lived a life that had its ups and downs. David had lived moments of glory and moments of defeat and misery. David had defeated Goliath, the giant, remember? But he had also spent many years running away from King Saul in fear for his own life. David had ruled Israel and led them to some glorious victories over their enemies. But David had also been brought low by his sins of lust and murder. David is considered the greatest king of Israel. The glory days of Israel happened during the days of David's reign, bringing the kingdoms together as one and uniting them in purpose and under God. And yet, some of David's own children despised him and tried to have him killed. David had moments of glory and moments of defeat. And now, towards the end of his life, he's recognizing that he wants to do something special for God. He wants to do something that's going to bring glory to God. Now, this wasn't just a last moment of his life type of thought. This is something that he'd been working on and thinking of for some time. He had been collecting some things for a temple, but God had said to him, "Sorry, David, you are not going to be building this temple. There's too much blood on your hands. You've been a man of war. We need a man of peace that will build this temple." And it's important for us to recognize that the temple, before, up until this time, God's sanctuary was still the tabernacle, what they had used when they had been out in the traveling around in the desert for 40 years in the wilderness. This tabernacle is what was still being used for place of worship. So David, looking at his own palace, he says, "I've lived in this beautiful place. We should have something special for God." So David is told that he's not going to be building it himself, but that his son who succeeds him will. And I want you to notice that David was not interested in building a legacy for himself. In verse 1, David, as he's speaking to the assembly, he says, "My Solomon, the one God has chosen, his task is great because this palatial structure is not for man, but for the Lord God." What David is wanting to do is create something that will bring glory and honor to God. Much of David's life had been spent in this, in wanting to bring glory and honor to God. And even when David had sinned and fallen, his response was to bring glory and honor to God as he repented and turned from those sins. It's interesting, you know, the more we live, the later on we get in our years, the more we come to recognize what's truly important in life. It's not the money, it's not the things that we've acquired, it's not our properties, it's our relationships with people and friends and family. But even more importantly, it's our relationship with God. That's really the key to life. That is the most important thing. And not only is it the most important in this life, but that is the eternal part of our life. Those are the things that continue on. If our lives are to have any meaning at all, that meaning comes through bringing glory to God. So, David had collected resources over the years. A lot of the things that had come into Israel had been set aside in a special place for the building of this temple. Gold, silver, wood, precious stones, and he talks about that in the text. But then he says, but I have some resources of my own too. I have gold and silver and I have things like that. And these things I'm going to bring from my treasury into the temple of the Lord. I want to give my retirement fund, my IRA, I want to give that for the work of the Lord. That's what David is saying here. Some would say, "David, that's kind of extreme, don't you think?" Maybe it's back today we'd say that's kind of reckless. You shouldn't give what you might need in the future. But isn't that what our giving is all about? It's giving and then trusting the Lord with our future, that God will provide our needs. So David gave recklessly. May have made some of his children angry, by the way. It may have been why they tried to get rid of him. But David gave out of a love for the Lord. He gave because his life had been centered on God, and so he wanted these resources to be centered on God too. David gave out of a love for the Lord. If you question that, just read through some of the Psalms. I want to share some Psalms with you. Throughout the Psalms, we hear David's praise to God, both in good times and bad times. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. It's on the screen here, I believe, yes. David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." David gave praise and glory to God because things were good for David. He had a good life. But there were some things, there were times that were difficult for David too. And he continued to give praise, as we see in Psalm 63, verses 1 through 4. He says, "O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there's no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. I will bless you as long as I live. I'll lift up my hands and call on your name." You see, David gave praise to the Lord in good times and in bad times, because David's life was focused on the Lord. He recognized that good things and difficult things, all of these things can be blessed by the Lord and can be used to bring glory to God's name. Both the blessings that happen and the challenges in life. David's life was dedicated to serving and glorifying God. So once again, in David's Psalms, we see a desire to live for God. Psalm 84, verses 8 through 12, he says, "The Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Amen. Behold our shield, O God, look on the face of your anointed, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than live in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. He bestows favor and honor. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, happy is everyone who trusts in you." You see, we see from these words and from the Psalms that David's life focused in on the Lord, that everything he did was to bring glory to God. Now, not everything David did brought glory to God, right? In many instances, when David sinned, though, what did he do? He confessed his sin. He repented, and he thanked God for God's grace and forgiveness. And so even then, God is glorified. We talked about this in our Sunday school class this morning. Of course David sinned, and some of his sins were worthy of death. And yet, his response to that, to the conviction, is what showed that David had a heart for God. He speaks of this in Psalm 51. "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love and according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me in a willing spirit." Even in the midst of David's sin, when he turned his back on the Lord, when he hoped he could get away with some of his sinfulness, when he was confronted with that sin, David repented. He recognized what it had done to his relationship with God and with others, and he asked for forgiveness. And God was faithful and just to forgive him. And in this, God continues to receive glory and praise. Now, of course, David not only expressed his love for God through poetic words that we see in the Psalms, but as we see in our text today, he even used his wealth and his possessions to demonstrate that he truly did love God more than these things, and even to point others to God's glory. He took the wealth that he had in store, and he used it for building a temple to the Lord that many would give glory to God in. What we've seen with David is that his whole life was given over to the work of Christ, to the work of God, to bring glory to God, to bring honor to God. to reveal God to the nations and to the people there. This is what David's life was all about. David had truly given himself wholly, completely, for the work of God. And in this we see why David is called a man after God's own heart. In our text we see David continuing on, and he challenges the nation's leaders and family leaders to consecrate themselves to the Lord also. Consecrate. It's in the title of the message this morning. What does that mean? To consecrate oneself is to dedicate oneself completely and wholly over to the Lord. This is what David has done. It's to make something holy for worship, even ourselves as holy vessels to the Lord. It's to use something for the purpose of bringing God glory, as David wanted this temple to be used. But David himself was used in this way. And so David asks the leaders in the congregation to consecrate themselves as David had done to the Lord, to dedicate themselves to the Lord, to make holy themselves and their resources for worship, to use what they have to bring glory to God. Notice David doesn't simply ask them to give generously. He doesn't ask them to give a tithe. He doesn't ask them to give with joyful hearts or anything like that. He says, consecrate yourself to the Lord. Take what you are and what you have and give yourself to the Lord for God's work, for his work. And we see that the leaders of Israel did consecrate themselves to the Lord. And what's the response that comes from that? There was great rejoicing from the people, and there was great rejoicing with David. You see, as we give ourselves to the Lord for God's work, there is joy in that. There's joy in serving Jesus. There's joy in doing the work of the Lord. We are blessed even if our resources become low. So the question for each of us today is, how will we use what God has given to us? Our life and our breath, our resources. Consider how you'll use your resources, your time, your energy, your relationships, your attention. How will you those be used for the work of God? Consider the words you speak. How are they used for the cause of Christ? Consider the thoughts that you dwell upon. Consider your attitudes. Would you be willing to give all of these over to God, to have them used by God to bring glory to our Lord? That's what it means to consecrate ourselves to the Lord. In this new year, there's nothing more valuable or more important that we could do, both for ourselves and for the cause of God, bring God glory, than to consecrate ourselves and all that we have to God, to be used completely for God's glory, to be made holy vessels of God's service, to give our resources to be used by God's glory, for God's glory, to use our time to serve the one who created us, to offer our bodies as living sacrifices for God's work, to make every relationship an example of God's love and grace. To focus our attention on the things that God is doing around us. And to speak words that build others up and that foster peace and hope. To use our minds to think about God's truth and love. To use our hands and our feet to bring the gospel to those who are lost. To have the same attitude is found in Jesus, who took on humility even though he was God and lived in obedience even to the point of death. This is the attitude that we should take on. And in so doing, living for Jesus. It's a new year. Today's a new day. Will you consecrate yourself this day to the Lord? This past week, someone asked me, would you be willing to die for Christ? I think I can answer yes. A more challenging question for us, though, I want to offer to you. Would you be willing to live the rest of your life for Christ? In there lies the challenge. But in there lies a life consecrated to the Lord that will bring joy to you and to all around you.